The Burrito Radio Show is brought to you by 2B1 Entertainment.
Two B1 has a game called None Is Perfect Billiards. It is a game based on points, stroke play, pretty much. You get to find out what your score would be in comparison to the pros. It's one of the better games that's out there, and it's new and fresh for the 21st century. If you'd like to be on the players list or participate in one of the games or videos, contact None Is Perfect Billiards at nipbilliards@gmail.com. Get on the players list and take part in the fun today. Welcome to another episode of the Burrito Radio Show. This is your host, 2B1 Energy. And we have two unique guests here today. Going to spread some love. They call Evolve Love. That's E-V-O-L-V-E for all y'all that don't know how to spell. L-O-V-E. We have Shofar and Kirti. Please do me a favor, introduce yourselves real quick.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kirti. And I run a powerful group of human beings, and we are called Dilse Culture. And Dilse means from the heart. And so I run all things heart-based.
Heart-based. And Shofar.
And oneness, y'all. This is Shofar. And so Kirti is my partner, and we together are Evolve Love, where we use breath work to help couples with intimacy. And then also, singly, I do Qigong, which is Chinese for breath work. Or as I like to call it, breath poetry. Getting your exhale and your inhale to rhyme.
All right, right on. Real quick, Shofar, give us a little bit about your background. Where you like, you know, where you born or where you come from? You come from the planets, what?
All right. So I touched down in Jamaica, Queens, New York.
Right on.
And I was brought up in Richmond, Virginia. So stand up 804, two up, two down, VA. And right. I've been in San Diego for 14 years now.
All right, right on. And so when it comes down to what you're doing presently, what, I guess, you know, what got you involved in that?
So, long story made short. In 2002, I met a Qigong master. At the time, I was working in corporate America at a major bank, one of the major banks of America. Little hint there. I met this gentleman, and it forever changed the course of my life. He introduced me to Qigong, the Medunatiya Tree of Life, with ancient Kemet teachings, and, you know, meditations. And from there, I always kept doing some type of practice regularly based on the things that I learned from that brother.
Nice. And how about yourself, Kirti? Tell us a little bit where you come from and how you got involved with what you're doing today.
All right. Well, I am a first-generation South Asian American woman. And my mother and father come from India. And I was born in Chicago, Illinois, and moved here to San Diego when I was 7 years old. And I moved to East County, Santee. I can't say two up, two down, but I guess I can say E. two E's. I make an adjustment. So hopefully that helpfully that suffices. I'm as cool as
so
Virginia.
You grew up in East
County. Santee, let's go. That's where I grew up.
You grew up in East County.
That's right, yeah.
Nice. And so that means you probably graduated from Santana?
No, my sister actually went to Santana for the last year, her last year, senior year, junior, senior year. I went to West Hills.
West Hills, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so, real quick, real quick, how did you two link up and get together and get involved with Evolve Love?
You start.
Okay, so we met back in 2017. And in December will be our 6-year anniversary.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Right on, right
Thank you. And from the jump, you know, it's one of those things of soul's recognition where it felt like we've done this before a couple of times. And we very quickly started doing, you know, workshops and things together, you know, building in the community and stuff. And, you know, one of them that came through that we started doing together was someone called Hip Hop Kundalini, and which was a lot of fun and creativity that came through.
Yeah, I would say when we met, it was kind of like we had known each other for a really long time. It was kind of one of those things. Right. Our first date ran into some people we knew on our first date, and they were like, "Man, how long have y'all been dating?" We were just like, "Oh, it's our first date." So it was nice. It was nice to already feel kind of like we knew each other, and I think spiritually, it was really refreshing to feel like I met my match for meeting somebody who saw the world the way I saw the world and understood politics and social dynamics and how it all relates to the divine. Somebody else who's spiritual and also revolutionary is what I feel like really ties us together.
Right. Now, real quick, do you want to reveal your profession real quick? Your professions?
Sure.
You go first this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I come with Shofar. What I do is I bring in communication tools and the support that we bring to couples. And I also support women in finding access to their optimal, most expressed ways of being in partnership. So that's what I bring to the work with Shofar. And when I'm not working with Shofar, I'm mostly work with women. I do have some male clients who are yoga students, and I also have male clients who are artists. And I work with a lot of women on fostering, facilitating, nurturing, and nourishing their kundalini.
Kundalini, how do you spell that?
KUNDALINI.
And that's what you were... with the man that you met back in 2002,
yes.
What he was introduced you to, and you kind of like took the ball, and next thing you know, you're running for the touchdown.
Yeah.
And what about you and your profession?
So what I like to call myself is a breath poet. A breath poet. So I like poetry, you know, hip hop. So that influenced that name that I came up with for myself as well. But because of Qigong or breath work. I like to say that I'm a breath poet.
How you spell Qigong?
Qigong, so Q-I. Some people also spell it with C-H-I. So either of those spellings are fine. Q-I and then G-O-N-G, which is basically roughly translates into breath work or breath discipline. So using your breath to be disciplined with your own inner work. And so I say I'm a breath poet, but what does that mean? I use breath to go deeper into SEX, central emotional exchange. So taking back sex from the realm of pornography and the things...
Hey, let me stop you real quick.
Sure.
You said SEX, but you said central.
Central, yeah.
So you spell central, S-E-N?
Yep.
S-E-N-T-R-A-L?
No, sensual. Sensual.
Sensual.
I got you. It could also be like central. Right. Or sensual, like
some
a smell.
Like,
yes,
like, I'm like, okay, sensual.
That's good. I like
so
both
good
of those.
Catch.
Sensual.
Yeah. Yes.
For all those like out there like me that kind of have a hard like time keeping up, sensuality is
yes.
What he was referring to.
I like that.
Okay, go ahead. S-E-S is sensual.
Emotional.
Exchange.
Which is a little bit different than and there's nothing wrong with the genitals meeting and having fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us got to the planet with just that.
I like
to say that that's lowercase S-E-X or lowercase sex. But when we graduate and start bringing in the emotionality and then the X factor is our consciousness with our breath. So central emotional exchange.
You think Elon Musk saw you and saw one of your posts and all of a sudden he wanted to change his account
to X. Right.
Yeah, trying to take away some of your glory.
Hey, you know, there's something going on. Elon do be tapping into something. I don't know exactly what, though. If you look at SpaceX, that's just, if you collapse that too, that's got sex in it too.
Yeah.
So I think he onto something.
Space sex.
Right.
Okay, so you both of you make money at doing this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that means you have a lot of clients. Like a nice little client base.
Yeah.
We have some. We have some.
We have some together. Right. He teaches classes.
Right.
And I have a membership of a small group, and then we work together.
Now, do you ever go out to the nudie ranch out there? What's it called? The Anza Springs?
No, haven't been there. So one of the things, the reason why I say we have some, because we're very, we've learned over time, the harder way, to really just take our time. There was a tantric master that we've heard, you know, one time interviewing, and when we heard it right away, it resonated with us, where he said he only works with couples. He doesn't work with singles. And this was an elder by the name of Sunyata Saraswati. And the reason why he was saying that is because couples, it's easier to build up the energy and keep the energy within the relationship and everything. Sometimes in single practice, some of those things can get lost. So one of the things that we've taken our time and taken a step back is to, you know, either find people who are single who are really dedicated to doing the work by themselves, or even finding couples that are really committed. So that's why we say some. We're very picky about who we work with now.
Yes, it's not like we have a whole bunch of clients. We actually rather work with a small group of powerful and potent people on the planet.
Right. Nice. And I guess you have a space that you do this at.
Yeah, we either do it at their place, they can come here to our humble abode, whatever, you know, fits the, some of our clients are online, so we never go to their place, you know, we do everything.
So you just do everything, like, even virtually sometimes?
Yeah. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
I got you. And it's called Evolve Love. Is this a registered business or no?
No. This is a sole proprietorship that we're working with ourselves, you know, just kind of word of mouth. One of the things we're trying to do, 2B1, is really step back from the system as best we had, like Kirti said earlier, about being revolutionary. Some of the things that we think is maybe a little different, but stepping back from the structures of the current system that we don't feel is working.
Let's talk about that a little bit later on. We're going to take a short pause, a short break. Come back, we're going to give out some sponsors out there that really is just me and my little...
right on. I like that.
Hey, you sponsored it, hey.
So, but in the meantime, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back on the Burrito Radio Show with Shofar and Kirti.
Yes.
Out here in San Diego, California. Hey, be back in a short break.
Yo, this is Bun the Poet and you know it, and you listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
Have you ever wondered how the pedicab industry got started? You know, the guys and gals that travel people around town? Well, purchase the book Pedicab Hearsay, available on Amazon.com, both electronic and hard copy. Get the stories today.
Bye.
Welcome back to the Burrito Radio Show. I hope you all had a burrito lately. If so, it was a healthy one. You know, have you had a burrito lately, y'all?
We did last night for dinner.
Yes.
Nice. Did you make it yourself?
No.
No.
Okay, so real quick, before we move on, what burrito places that would you recommend in all of San Diego? What burrito places? Places to get a good burrito.
I think making it at home is the best burrito for me, personally.
Making it at home, but even though you went somewhere else.
Yeah, okay, so if I had to go to a burrito spot, I like Bahia Burrito over there in Bird Rock. It's right there near the water.
Oh, yeah, that one is good. What about Serape?
Serape.
El Serape.
El Serape. El Serape. Okay, I'm going to give you mine. Mine is Colima's over here on University.
Oh, yeah, I've been
that
there.
That one's really good. Okay. And then they have another good one on 5th and Fur. It's a little small one right there by the little clinic shop or something like that. Mm-hmm. Real small place. But if you ever over there, 5th and Fur, it's a little small burrito spot. Fifth it's like, okay. Yeah, you wouldn't like even know it was there if you didn't know San Diego. Uh-huh. Okay, so now that we kind of warmed up here, let's talk about some spiritual healing. So I'm going to start with you first, Kirti.
Okay,
when you're working with what you're doing, how much effect of the spirituality healing that come across with the people that you're working with, some of the souls you're working with, is it totally effective, somewhat effective? Do you feel like they have to keep on coming back to you? Like, give me some of your experiences of some of the people that you dealt with the spiritual healing aspect of Evolve Love.
I would think most people think that it will take less than it really does. Is what I've noticed. Most people think that, you know, couples usually go to get help or to get support once it might feel at a place of like, oh man, it's too far gone kind of a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so by the time they're getting support, they'd like it to get fixed.
Pardon me real quick. When you say couples say it's too far gone, are these couples having issues within their own relationships?
Yeah.
Or do they want more of a healthy relationship?
Both are the same.
So in other words, each case is different, but the ones you come across more are the ones that are having issues in their relationship.
Yeah, some people, I can tag team on. Some people come to us already, you know, in a place where they're in a healthy, you know, relating, but they maybe want to explore the ecstasy a little bit more, go deeper into what pleasure and what that means, you know, so explore things. Then there are those who want to heal, and those also who want to just feel more purposeful in their relating.
Have you ever had a situation where it hasn't worked with either one of you? Where it just did not work, and all of a sudden it...
I think we've worked with maybe one or two people who had an expectation of an outcome.
Right, right. Yeah, and the outcome that hasn't happened yet, but, you know, you keep working with enough people in May, is actually splitting up or whatever. But what we already have prepared ourselves, we are actually on our onboarding process when we take people in, if we decide to work together, we even set the stage for that. Like, if at the end of this, it becomes clear that the best and most highest aligned thing would be to no longer be in a relating anymore, let's figure out how to do that in a, you know, in a conscious way, but that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay. I was thinking individuals. We've worked with some individuals who had an expect. Couples, we haven't had any couples that.
So most couples, that's why you like.
No, they come out. They come out stronger. Closer, tighter, having children, getting married.
Right.
Yeah, they find ways that they want to like commit or bond if it's not.
And most couples come in with some questions on their relationship before they even see it. In other words, their relationships are already having issues already.
Yes.
I would say, and the issues are in the bedroom, and that's usually what calls them, because they think that it's a sexual issue. And then when we start working together, we're able to actually see how, like, the bedroom is a place where some of these issues want to come out to play, because that's where we are most vulnerable with our partners. Right. So when we're able to feel safe to have some of those conversations, then we get to see other parts of the relationship begin to flourish, heal, get some nourishment and nurturing, you know, because we get to touch other parts of the relating.
Right, and this is, you utilize Reiki, a lot of Reiki healing with, or no?
I wouldn't say Reiki. So the work that we do does work with the auric field, or with the idea of the bioelectrical field that we have. Real simple way of explaining that for your listeners who may not know what that is our heart is pumping blood. The blood is going hella fast through the arteries and veins. On those blood cells are little molecules of iron. The iron creates an electromagnetic field that goes around us as it spins through our body, hurtling through those veins and arteries real quick. That field, which some people call the aura, you can use your auric field to interact with each other. We're doing it all the time anyway, but we just don't realize. Like, you ever looked at somebody and they turn around and somehow they knew that you were looking at them? Probably it was the auric field. They were able to pick up that. Or when women get synced up with their cycle, their auric fields are interacting, even though their body isn't. These are just some examples.
How'd you get in the leadership role?
The leadership role, you mean?
Well, being a leader in what you're doing. Being a leader in what you're doing.
So, I think the way that my personal journey with leadership has been my own journey with, you know, the masculine force in me. And again, I'd like to clarify that, you know, we all have feminine and masculine energy in us. When I say those terms, if I say it now or any other time in this podcast, I'm not referring to gender. So I'm not talking about our genitals. I'm talking about the force that makes us breathe in and out, or makes our heart beat. We beat, you know, we exhale, we inhale. That's yin and yang, or that's masculine and feminine. So my journey with the leadership energy has been my taking back and my deeper understanding of my own masculine energy.
Nice. I read about that and learned about that in college when I was taking a sexual humanities class. Mm. I think it would be an advantage for a lot of people to take that class. It should be actually mandatory, in my opinion, for high school students. How about yourself, Kirti? I noticed that you have a lot of leadership qualities as well. How do you get involved with being a leader in all this?
Well, being a leader with Shofar, I think it came from my business background. That's kind of like where I feel I was able to imprint some of our interactions. And I grew up in a family that ran a restaurant here in San Diego for about 28 years.
I love that restaurant too. I love it.
And so just, you know, being the baby of the family, you know, at 7 years old, entering like restaurant lifestyle and watching my parents run a business and see how they did things and see how the front of the house is ran, the back of the house. I just got to see the office, like all the different moving parts of a business. And in high school and college, I was rarely always moved by the underdog. Like, it was just this thing in me. Like, I loved reading stories about it and watching movies about that, probably because I was, you know, a first-generation immigrant growing up in Santee. I probably could relate.
And that's why I call it, like, an unusual situation that a lot of people don't really get a chance to express. Yeah. I would say... wanted to ask, none of you really got this in high school or in junior high school where you were already natural leaders already, but it just kind of manifested and evolved over time.
Totally.
And I think you were more like in college too, though, right?
Well, no, in seventh and eighth grade, I actually was able to, I was totally always did things like student organizing.
So that's what I'm raising.
Always class clown. Like, I definitely always got like something in the yearbook of being out there, outgoing. I wrote a speech in eighth grade and like won a speech contest in San Diego about race and racism.
So you are already, you're what they call laying the pavement for what you're doing today back then. As for you so far,
mine was a different journey. So at the same time as she was going out and exploring and, you know, putting herself out there, I was slowly but surely going more and more into my own shell. The older I got as a teenager, and it wasn't until after I graduated from high school, because in high school I was so shy I couldn't even get the most shy award. Like, a kid that they actually knew was there.
So you weren't flowing on the mic.
No. But after high school, I really was determined. I was like, I am not going to be shy my whole life.
That's amazing.
And I dedicated myself to breaking out of that. And it was painful. My first thing that I did to break out of it was a sales job, which was brutal. Like, I think a lot of people brought out of pity from me sales.
Right. Because you have to put yourself out there as a leader in sales, right, which is what a lot of people don't do in sales. That's why they don't make sales, is because they're like, like, I'm like that sometimes, not gonna lie. It's like, I think sometimes as an artist, as a person that's a performer, I do my leadership on stage and when I do the music, but when it comes down to other things, I just wanna lay in the cut, you know? So it's kind of like a balance, imbalance. So when it comes down to it, what kind of goals do you all have set? Like, individual goals first, like a few individual goals for your killer team. Whether they're major or minor.
I think right now the main goal that I have is to do whatever work it requires for me to remain spiritually wide open to be of service to that which wants to come through me. In order for those who are disenfranchised and those who feel unheard can start to feel inspired to make some noise and speak up and express and be creative. So
your major goal, if I'm not mistaken, is to get more people to grasp as a collective of what you're doing.
Who they are. Grasp who they are and what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go, like, to India or nothing like that? Or
I've been to India.
You don't want to go to Africa? Or...
If it takes me there. Yeah, I feel like for me right now, I don't know, maybe tomorrow my point of view will change. But for me right now, goals that involve things like, I want to travel, I want to do this. Sure. And lately I've been really feeling like getting to know the earth of this body and the lay of this land, of who I am. All of those experiences are there inside of me. And there's this also this deep part of me that feels like I've lived many lifetimes. And if I lived many lifetimes, and India and Africa are two of the most ancient cultures on the planet, I'm sure I must have lived lifetimes of both of those cultures. And I feel them so deeply inside of me. So I'm sure whether I visit Africa or meet a really powerful African person that I can connect with and build with, I'll take either if it involves...
I mean, what, raising the vibration. Like, I don't want to put goals in your brain. I just want, like, you know, I just kind of curious what kind of major goals that you had. I mean, like, I think when we do have goals, especially major ones, then we have a direction of where we want to go. If our goals are easily accomplished, I mean, what
kind I'd of, like what to kind travel. Goal, I'd like to
what
travel.
What kind of goal is that? Meaning that it's so easy that you accomplish this, like,
right.
Well, I'm going to walk out the door. That's my goal. So, boom, you walked out the door. Now what?
Mm. Well, so, I feel that I've had days where my goal is to be alive. My goal is to move my body. My goal. So I'm also find the beauty in really, really being okay with what the day brings me. And I'll say this for what you did bring some light to. I do have one goal is that I'd like to travel where I can teach and where I can share. Ooh, that yeah. that'll be where I will travel. It's like if there's an opportunity to share what I do and to connect with other people who are artists and creative people and beings, I'm down.
I heard you say that once before, and I thought that's what you're gonna say for some reason, but you
know, yeah. And right now I'm also in a place where that's not so quite accessible, and I'm being called to, like, I feel like right now on the planet we're being called to focus on, like, the here and now of the 6 months. Like, how are we all showing up?
But here's my point is that when you have a goal that's 6 months, that is what they call a short-term goal. A goal from, let's say, 5 or 7 years out where you just, like, you can't imagine yourself being in that place. But this is what you want to do.
Right.
100%. This is where I'm referring to. Mm. It could be for a child wanting to go to USC, or it could be somebody at USC wanting to be a doctor, or it could be somebody like me who wants to put my game in the Olympics.
Right.
Right? This is like out of this world. Like, you know, like if you made it happen, it'd be like, wow. Mm. You know? What about you, Shofar? Mm. Now that you heard what I'm talking about, some major, major goals.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the forefront definitely is travel. You know, travel definitely does speak to me in a way of inspiration and, you know, seeing new places, meeting new people, new cultures, new ways of eating and thinking. And like Kirti said, and sharing in these spaces. So going to places where I can put my palms up and receive and learn from other people, and then turn around and they put their palms up and sit and I'm able to feed and give what I have here, what I'm here on the planet to share as well. So I want to put myself in those situations, whether it be Morocco or, you know, Australia, Brazil, India. There's several places around the world that really speak to me, and other places in the States too, where we have tribe and everything that I want to travel and do. And the big goal there as we do that travel is to be inspired and then to help inspire others. Mm.
Is Evolve Love more Indian-based as far as religions go? Or is it not really a religion? Is it just like a healing, I guess, a healing awareness for the human body?
Yeah, I definitely would say that it's it leans more towards what someone may say is spirituality and not so much religion. The root word religion, one of the roots from my understanding, is something that yokes us or ties us back to something which we do need that discipline at sometimes, but religion, then that same yoke, that same tie into something sometimes can keep us bound. So we like to say that Evolve Love is simply spirituality, not religion.
I mean, like, you know, I apologize if I didn't mean to offend you.
No. I wasn't offended at all.
Okay, we're going to take one more break. We're here with Shofar and Kirti in the Spirituality Palace, I guess. I'm going to call it from now on the Spirituality Palace. Mm-hmm. So when you walk in here,
like
you stepped into the Spirituality Palace. We're right out here in San Diego. You're with the Burrito Radio Show. We'll be right back after a short break. Fresh food for the fresh body. What goes in fresh comes out healthy. Be sure to visit your local farmer's market. And trust me, you'll feel much better.
You're listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
For over 100 years, San Diego Shade has been covering windows all over San Diego County. Whether you want roller shades, cellular shades, shutters, you're looking for an automated awning to go over your patio, you want some exterior roller shades to block the sun out, we're the company to go to. We're located conveniently in Miramar area at 7354 Trade Street. You can reach us on the phone at 619-287-8863. You can also check out our website at sandiegoshade.com. I look forward to covering your windows soon.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Burrito Radio Show. This one's called Evolved Love. I'm not going to say ran by, operated by. I'm talking about spiritualized with Shofar and Kirti in the spiritual palace.
Peace.
Okay. Okay, so the reason why I've been coughing, y'all, is because I've been smoking a little bit of ganja. I know I'm going to get in trouble with my spiritual people, say you smoke too much and all this other stuff. Almost died last year, but you know. It's all good. We're still here. We're still here. So I'm going to ask you real quick. I'm going to go off subject real quick. I'm going to ask you some other things. But just real quick, have you ever had an outer body experience, either one of you, where your spiritual actually left your body to the point where when you looked at it, all of a sudden it came back?
No.
That's never happened to you?
I've never had an OBE, out-of-body experience, where I just totally leave my body. No, not this lifetime.
I don't know if I would consider it OBE, but I've definitely had NDE, which is a near-death experience.
A near-death? I had the same thing.
Yeah, and I felt that I was witnessing, you know, myself, separated from myself. I don't. Now that you're saying, like, did I feel like I was out and I saw myself and then I got sucked back in? It didn't really happen like that, but I definitely felt like I was okay. Dead.
If you do me a favor, next time you're dealing with your people, ask them that question if they had an outer body experience, and maybe possibly you'll hear something that you'll be like, that's where we're trying to get. You know what I'm saying? It's the epitome of understanding wherever this life is going. Anyway, speaking about this life, right now we're going through some issues. And as of, what's the day? October
9th, 10th? Yeah.
October 10th, 2023. I mean, we got all these different societal issues that people are falling under pressure under, where they come and see you and maybe causing problems in their relationships. What kind of assessments can you give to either how to handle the situation, or, you know, some advice on, like, or like I said, like, what's your opinion about it? I mean, do you feel like it's irrelevant? Do you feel like, for example, the Donald Trump indictments or some of the other political issues, like there's a war going off in Israel and Hamas that's pretty deep right now. Everybody's thinking that World War III is going to kick off any second here, and the Russia thing and Ukraine and the atrocities in Africa, the border situation down by the border, people mask, like all these different, you know, people from other countries just coming and smashing. It's not just Mexico. As a matter of fact, it's not Mexico.
Right.
It's not Mexico. It's not Canada. It's people coming through those lands.
That's right.
So what do you, where are you at on this, on these issues? I'm going to start with you this time, Shofar.
Okay. I think the macrocosm and the microcosm, the big and the small of it, is these things are big and they loom big. And, you know, the World War III thing, that, you know, we're at that crossroads. I think we've been there for, you know, a while. So kind of in this quantum universe that we have right now, you know, where anything could happen, the coin is neither heads or tails. It's up to us kind of where it goes collectively. So with that being said, what I'm really try to impart first with myself, then in my relating with Kirti, and then, you know, keep, you know, making that circle bigger and bigger, is that to do the little things that can affect the bigger thing by just who you are and working on how these things land for you. Like, when, what I mean is this, to put it more simply, when you hear about Israel and Hamas, or Israel and Palestine, do you right away go to, man, fuck Palestine, man, like they shot first this time and they killed, you know, and you go into how bad Palestine is and you get polarized, your energy gets polarized against Palestine? Or are you the other camp and like, Israel is a criminal settlement that came in there in 1948 and displaced the Palestinians and, you know, they're evil, blah, blah, polarized again to the other way. What I'm getting at is, are we able to have enough mastery to start working on ourselves to the point where we don't allow these things to polarize, where we can still be empathetic and feel for both sides, because they both have blood on their hands now at this point, innocent blood. Mm. So neither one of them are innocent.
Okay, and, real quick. I don't mean to interrupt, but I need to real quick.
Yeah.
Where is the emotion in all of this? I mean, there's been killings and stuff going on a lot all around the world.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Why is this topic so emotional? Why do you think? Because I noticed your emotion getting high.
So for me, it's bigger than just this. You know, it is the Ukraine and Russia thing. And it, to me, what I'm really emotional about it is the nature of human beings, us as human beings. Like, those are just, those conflicts could happen, or you could talk about any place around the world at any given time. These are just ones that they're letting us know about right now. So what I'm getting more passionate about is this thing in human being nature that we have, that we continue to be dominated by, and that we allow someone, quote unquote, to get our goat. What I'm getting at is this, is that a young child or a kid or a dog, even an animal, animals go through emotions, but they don't have mastery of it to the point where they can be manipulated to do different things. We call ourselves adults, and yet we still allow ourselves to be, you know, manipulated by outside forces. Mm-hmm. So for me, the passion comes around. These things come through the TV screen and on our little cell phones.
Yeah, I know there's no TV in here. I love that part. That's why I call it the spirituality pop.
Yeah, you know, and hear these things, be empathetic to our people. But the last thing I'll say on this, and then I want to hear what you have to say, Kirti. Another part of my passion is the polarization thing. I think it's time for us to stop picking sides, especially when both sides are in the wrong, so to speak. If we're going to Israel or Palestine and taking up for either one of them, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter about numbers. They both have innocent blood on their hands.
I got you. I'm going to just say real quick, when it comes down to the Palestinian side, it's really a small number of people, man, that's making all this trouble.
Right.
The rest of them are just trying to live life, man, and try to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. And there's a small, is no different than, like, a lot of things. You can have a small group of people create, like, a lot of havoc.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So that's my take. You can't, like, put a collectiveness on a whole group of Palestinian people.
Right.
Same thing you can't do on the other side with the Israelis. You can't put the whole group on it. So, Kirti, where are you coming on? Real quick.
Ask me again.
The state of the issues. So, okay, outside of that, I mean, there's way more than just the that's just the present one in the last few days, or within the last week. Another one would be, let's say, the ocean, right? The sewage situation down here in
Tijuana?
In Imperial Beach. You know, that's been going on since I was born here.
Yeah, no, so
that's like, and it's probably way before that. These kind of issues, how do you a leader, you know?
Well, again, it starts with us, of course. Like, first and foremost, are you walking your talk? So if you even want to talk about any of those issues, like, what are you doing personally to show up to those issues? I don't think that the carelessness that we have with the ocean is very different than the carelessness that we have for each other as human beings in a societal level, that we still have young black men and women being, you know, shot in the street, or that we have homeless people being
Bullied. Yeah, there's just a lot of negative things.
It's all kind of the same root. Would you agree?
Yeah. It's all.
I think, and maybe this. Tell me if this is like getting too, too spiritual palace here. But I feel that it's all the root of it all is that we feel separated from the mother.
Separated from the mother Earth or the mother womb?
I feel the mother, if you were to think of the mother of your mother, and then the mother of the mother of your mother, and the mother of the mother of the mother of the mother of the mother, and you kept going back, and we all start to realize, like, wow, we were all delivered through a mother, and maybe once we're born, we feel separated, and we're trying to get back to feeling connected again.
So, like, This topic is deep, and we're gonna see from, like I said, from this day until what happens, because we don't know what's gonna happen.
Right.
We don't know what's gonna happen, but the thing is that people don't understand the human anatomy sometimes. Mm. They don't understand how the brain works. They don't understand how they're easily programmed to do things or to say things, even though they don't really know. Because they've been programmed to do and say these things and think these things, and so and then like today's music, okay?
Yeah.
So I like to hit on that real quick.
Sure.
What do you think of today's music as far as the hip hop and all?
It's not hip hop. I grew up in East County, but I moved to Brooklyn when I was started going to Brooklyn every year, like when I was from 19 to 27 or 28. So I was really lucky. That was like the early 2000s, late 90s, right. Early 2000s,
right.
All the way to 2008. So I really got to experience, I feel, the real hip hop and just such a gorgeous representation of culture and the United States, like the medicine.
What's wrong with the music? From a theory standpoint, I know for me it sounds like aerobic music has hit the scene of the common people, and they made it into a club scene. Mm. So when Jane Fonda came out with the aerobic video, it was good to lose weight, dancing around,
jazzercise. Right?
And then out of nowhere, it hit the club, and everybody got famous because they were like 110 pounds, light skin, or super white, and next thing you know, they became big and just kind of destroyed the whole music scene in general, when it comes down to making the money, the people that are really doing it, compared to, the jazz artists.
Well, the scene is determined, just like the movie scene is determined by Hollywood, the music scene is determined by the industry.
Mm.
So it's not very different. There's an algorithm of who's successful or not, right? So the more that you are revolutionary and ready to buck the system, you've got to be willing to not be popular and understand that that's the highest compliment of all time.
Nice.
Because everything else is kind of a setup. It's a setup. So right now, what is considered hip-hop is a setup. They've defined that. That's not from the people.
Right.
That's not what we say hip-hop is. That's what the program, that's what Hollywood and the industry says is hip-hop. And that's what the generation right now is going to believe, because they believe the program, which is, in the airwaves and the sound and the radio waves. But the beauty is that young generations today have access to music and art, diverse representation of music and art, more than we ever had, or our parents and those who were before us, because of technology, because of things like Spotify, where you can, really go into your own exploration of different artists.
Hey, what do you know? That's what we're using right now. Spotify. Whoa. Hey. Don't tell no lies. Don't tell no lies.
Right. Any of these. Like, you can use technology to really Bandcamp. I mean, I found so many alternative underground artists. SoundCloud, back in the day, people would release things there. So it's all of these have been different access points for people to be heard and seen. However, what we have to always think about what we what we define as successful for ourselves.
Okay, real quick, Shofar, what's on your playlist as far as like on your playlist?
These days, the most recent thing that I've been listening to over and over again is one song by a gentleman named King Los. And the song is, what is it? Do It For Me. Very conscious, you know, song, you know, uplifting.
Right.
And that tends to be the type of message I
resonate with. Who else is out there that you're listening to?
Man, I'm kind of disenchanted with the music out there, honestly, right now. I liked some of Kendrick's last album, Kendrick Lamar, you know, J. Cole.
We've been listening to Nas and... Oh, appreciating Nas's stuff.
I did forget.
Some of older, his newer stuff?
No, his new stuff.
I like his new stuff. And it's made me go back and listen to some of his old stuff. But I would say I appreciate what Nas is doing too lately.
Nice. What about you, Kirti? Who's on your playlist?
Oh my gosh. These days, well, I curate my own playlist for my classes. So it's just a lot of world music. I've been listening, you know, to Amapiano, but in the Latin versions of it. I can't say my favorites.
So you're like me, you don't really remember the name of these people. No. You just remember the sound. You're like,
I like that sound. That's the sound I'm in. But if I was to think of like my artists and musicians of all time that I will always go to, Stevie Wonder, you know, always, of all time, I'll always go to Stevie Wonder, Jimi Hendrix. Always will be able to go there. Yeah, Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, like these are my go-to artists and musicians who remind me of who I truly am. And then I'm a classical Indian dancer and grew up with classical Indian music. So the classics of the classical Indian musicians of flute players like Chaurasia and vocalists like Jasraj, sitar player Ravi Shankar, of course, and his daughter. Anushka Shankar, these are people that, and they're San Diego legends as well, right?
So yeah, I mean, there's so many musicians out there. You never listened to Maturation of Soul?
Right.
You never heard none of their recordings?
I mean,
like, that Maturation of Soul? Like,
yeah, they're good. Yeah, especially that lead singer.
The lead singer's pretty dope.
Lead singer knows. So that's what you meant on our playlist.
Hey, we're not
on all platforms.
Maturation Soul is not really famous.
Nor is it Maturation Soul's available on all platforms?
They're available on the Burrito Radio Show.
That's right.
On the real though, okay, so before we close up, I have to do a little wordplay real quick because I think this will be kind of fun. Okay. So, when I do the wordplay, I'm just going to do an individual word for each of you.
Okay.
Okay? So I don't want you guys to bounce off each other, like, you know. All
right.
Like, you know. Okay. So, okay. First one for you would be the ocean, particularly Pacific Ocean.
And you say wordplay, what you want me to just...
What comes down, what's the first thought that comes to your brain? Just like real quick, thought.
Vast.
Vast.
Vast. Timeless.
Okay. Yeah. For you, the djembe.
Open.
The djembe is open?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
It's open from the bottom. So that
open from the bottom. So anybody that know, like, you know, I was like kind of confused on that one. Okay, how about for you, a Rolex watch?
Not necessary.
Not necessary. Okay, all the gangsters and bling bling people are going to come like, man, I don't like that guy. What about for you, how about, let's go with Princess Diana. No words coming out, huh? No words coming out, huh?
Privilege.
Privilege.
Huh?
Interesting. Interesting. Had a long pause on that before the privilege. Okay, how about with you, Chuck D?
Chuck D. Voice.
The voice.
Yeah.
The voice.
Mm-hmm. Powerful voice.
The voice. Yeah. Okay, how about you, Marcus Garvey?
Revolutionary.
Revolutionary. Revolutionary. I can see that. You know, he got kicked out of Jamaica. They kicked him out. That was messed up, huh?
I mean, I don't know.
That was wrong. That was wrong. What they did.
I know that he was. It wasn't the people.
It was the political people that kicked him out. Oh. Not the people. Okay, the political.
Yeah. It depends who. That was going to be my next thing, because I know he did some things too that people considered were questionable.
Okay, for you so far. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one's going to be a good one.
Okay.
Orgasm.
So this may take some people aback, but breath.
Breath.
Orgasm and breath.
Breath.
Yeah.
Sure, you like that one. Okay. One last one for you, okay? Nana.
Teacher.
Type.
Warrior.
Had another one. I mean, like, I would say drum master. That's what I would say.
Yeah, Nana and I go beyond music, though, you know. Nana was a customer at my parents' restaurant. He was a drummer with my brother, so I was really actually, like, kind of a tag-along for a long time. But Nana has just always shown up for me, like, always as a just an adult guide where I felt like I needed somebody older than me to just say what was happening in my life, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so, and I got mad respect for Nana, too, trust me. Mm-hmm. I've heard, I mean, like, I could, like, do a whole episode just on him alone. You know, he'll probably be drumming, though, through the whole episode. That's the only problem. Anyway, I want to thank y'all for taking part in the Burrito Radio Show episode, Evolve Love. One final last, you know, words for the public out there. First, you, Kirti, like, you know, any of shout outs, or you want to give something out to the public?
Keep moving your body and be the change and make the movement. Yeah. Make the movement you want to see, and people will join you. It just takes one person. And then before you know it, you have a movement. So move your own body and let other people follow who feel you, you know.
So far.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful time to be alive. It's a powerful time to be here. Be inspired. Feel yourself. Know yourself. Remember who you are. And know that you can, that you are sending waves out about how these things go. The things that we talked about, the things that are going out in the bigger world. You play your part. See a different world.
When you say you, what are you talking about? You?
Yeah, each one of us. Each one of us that are listening through time and space right now, if you hear our voices, know that you play your part in how these things go. Carry a different feeling, carry a different vibe, carry a different outlook on how these things are going to play out on the bigger level and then in your own life. And we can make it, we can change things.
Gotcha. Hey, much respect to y'all. We're here at the Spiritual Palace. Maybe one day we can come back here and, you know, do another episode, you know, see where, you know, like, you know. Actually, Shofar has a podcast as well. The name of your podcast is?
Full Show Health.
Full Show Health. All right. Yes. So this is 2B1 Energy on the Burrito Radio Show. We're going to catch you next time. Be sure to check out Maturation of Soul on Instagram to keep up with their show schedule, as well as we have our book, Pedicab Hearsay, available on Amazon.com. So we'll check you out next time. And don't forget, try not to eat the whole burrito, just a little bit at a time.
So for those of you that just want to get out, stretch, take a quick smoke, there's some restroom facilities you can use. Also some vending machines. Once again, we will depart at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, this bus will be departing. Montgomery.
It's still one motion, so ride the wave of life.